life has changed.
We want to be there for you.
Miguel, Holly, and Scotty are unscripted, uncouth, and still very mature. Now, Bailey.
It's Miguel and Holly Uncensored, Corncast Edition from Hot 101.5.
Made hot by Corona Beer.
Hey.
Miguel, Holly, and Scotty the Body, and I do believe here in just a second, so Scott, keep watching the phone. We have somebody about to call in to the podcast with a very interesting story about a celebrity that is here in Tampa Bay.
What?
And this is like, I think, hold on, because like literally this is all like coming down right now.
Oh.
This just came on the celebrity websites and whatnot about a few hours ago. And so I'm really curious about the story, what happened. And so Scott, be watching the phone.
I hate when I don't know anything. Like, I've been doing other stuff.
I mean, literally this happened while you were in the bathroom before we did the podcast.
Oh,
I mean, so this is
you
all
said
like
the past few hours. I was like, what did I miss?
Well, yeah, that's when the story came down. It hasn't picked up steam just yet.
Okay.
But probably in the next few hours by this afternoon. It's Thursday right now.
Will we talk about it in Hot in Hollywood tomorrow?
Oh, absolutely. Like you, this would be a story in Hot in Hollywood or trending in Tampa Bay tomorrow. Oops.
Wow.
So we're going to be waiting for that person to call in. But we did get somebody in the Miguel and Holly fam to leave us an open mic. And how do you do that, Holly?
Okay, you go to the Hot 101.5 app, which is a free download. Or if you've already got it, just boop, open it up. And then there is like the little button on the bottom says open mic. So you click on it and then it's like leaving a voicemail basically for us. And then we can communicate with you. Super easy.
Here is the Here is the open mic that we got on the Hot 101.5 app.
I just wanted to thank y'all for staying on until noon. I work for a funeral home here in St. Pete, and I just wanted to let you guys know that you're awesome, and I love listening to the show while I'm working crazy hours due to COVID. Bye.
Bye. Thank you. Well, thank you for what you do.
Ooh. Absolutely. Thank you so much for saying that. How have you been adjusting to the new schedule, Holly?
Slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Slowly. Like the first 2 or 3 days of it, I was like totally thrown for a loop. I was very tired. I was crabby because I was like, this is just, it's like so, and hold on.
Mm-hmm.
I realize how dumb I sound because our job is not difficult.
Right.
Like we're not in the hospital moving COVID patients from one bed to another. So
right.
I appreciate that fact. But it is a challenge in its own right in that, you know, that's 2 extra hours of alertness and mental acuity.
Absolutely.
That I have not been used to. And then on top of it, you know, you go home and like I'm jumping directly from this to mom/teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a little bit taxing.
Right.
And if you have kids, you're like, hell yes, it is. Tell them, girl, because you know.
Oof.
So I think I was a little out of sorts. I think I was a little cranky. Not to mention, I went down a level on my Zoloft, which is my anti-depression, anti-anxiety medicine.
What a time.
What a time. Oof. But I'm also doing the TMS therapy with NeuroSpa. And so it's like that was supposed to balance it out. But there's still a little adjustment period.
Right.
And that all hit me at the same time. Considering we did all that, I'd say I would still do them pretty good.
I'd say so, too.
I'd say that's a glowing review of this TMS therapy. But so I think literally I was actually just thinking in the past like 2 days, I have felt more balanced because I'm starting to kind of get my sea legs.
Right. I feel like that's what a lot of people are going through who are working from home right now, where the first couple days or weeks you were like, all right, this is, like, kind of fun because I get to, like, be in my pajamas. I get to walk from the bedroom to the living room or to the kitchen. And then there's, like, that learning curve of, like, how do I do my job from home?
Yeah. Or, yes, yes.
Right.
And like, in the best way.
Right, right. How do you navigate that? So it's, like, you feel sort of out of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a while, you're like, all right, cool. I got the hang of it. I could do this.
Mm-hmm.
Scott, how are you feeling?
Right now, I'm doing okay. I mean, in the beginning, it was very frustrating because, like, I just didn't want to be here. Let me rephrase.
No, go ahead. Just say
I didn't want to be here, like,
all day, yeah. As in, like, because right now, like, I'm editing the show and putting it on our platforms,
mm-hmm.
but usually I would do that after the show and we would get done by, like, 10.
Right.
And so, like, at latest, I'd be done at, like, 11. Well, yeah. Now we go to 12, and so, what, latest I'm going to get done at 1
yeah.
and then go home, and that's just too much. And right. so now I'm having to, finally, I'm learning how to readjust where I'm doing it throughout the show when there's downtime, because as soon as we can, I try to get out. So I'm not here all day and not getting frustrated. And also Chase comes in and I don't want to be in his way. So I try to like just adjust the things that I'm doing, but it has to be like, I have to be more alert more for a shorter period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Cause like this is probably like the most mentally taxing part because it's just very of the same thing.
It's tedious.
Mm-hmm.
It's very tedious and it's just going like I've done it every day for a long time. So now I'm just like, okay, let me just bust this out in the beginning, get it done with. And so, like, right now I'm pretty much done.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as we're done here and other things, like, I just go.
Except for the fact, don't forget that we have staff meetings twice a week.
Yeah.
On Teams.
Yeah. That part, I think the hardest part is it's just, it's you added so much so quick. And I'm down for that. It's just, there's days where it's literally exhausting. And I get frustrated because I want to do other things. But then I go home and, like, I just pass out. Like, yes, like I could not do anything yesterday. I did a Zoom call with a friend for an interview. And as soon as it was done, I tried reading and I laid down. I pretty much just died.
Mm.
And I wake up and I don't know. I was thinking about this the other day. Like, I almost feel like, I don't know if everyone feels like this when they wake up from a nap. Maybe they do. And actually, I hope people, you know, I'm not alone in this. But I wake up and I literally feel like death.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just wake up, like, a nap's supposed to be refreshing. Like, I feel mm-hmm. like I could do nothing else, and it takes everything in the possible universe to get me up.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so hard because I'm like, if I wanted to, I could probably sleep all day.
Yeah.
And then getting up, it takes so much. That's the biggest part where it's like, we just added some hours. It's exhausting. I still want to get other things done, but then I go home and I don't.
Right.
And then I'm like, well, there's another day.
Well, that's one of the reasons why when I do take naps, I only, like, I will go home and I will sit on the couch and I will literally fall asleep upright where, like, I just kind of lay my head back on the couch. And so I can sleep in that position and be fine. So I'll be out for maybe 20 minutes, 30 if it's, like, real bad. But like, that recharges me. Like, when I wake up from that, I'm like, all right, cool. What's next? What's next?
Yeah.
If I go to my bed mm-hmm. and I lay down,
yep.
That's when I wake up and I think it's 2050. Like, I don't know where we are, what's going on, who my name is, what race I am. Like, I don't know what anything.
What race I am.
No, seriously. I'm like, am I white? Am I Hispanic? I have no clue.
Well, that's me, and because I have to go on my bed. I can't nap on the couch.
Yeah, I'm not going to nap.
And I try to, like, nap while I've tried all kinds of naps. Mm. I've tried the nap where I'm in the living room, and Maya is watching TV, and she watches TV while I try to nap. But all the YouTube shit that she watches, they have all these high-pitched voices that are attractive to kids, where they're like, oh, my God, we're going to open up this squishy and see what's inside. And I'm like, so that doesn't really work.
No.
And I've also tried napping in my bed while she lays in bed and we watch TV and I can't get the volume on the TV low enough. And then now I'm like getting home and I let her have the living room and then I go in the bedroom, but then I do what Scott does and you just pass out and I set an alarm.
Yeah.
But even when the alarm goes off, I'm like,
I just feel so much worse. And I know that every time I go to take one, I'm like, I'm not that tired, but it just feels so good to close my eyes. But I know in the back of my head, like, if it goes anywhere beyond like 15-20 minutes, I'm gonna wake up and hate the feeling. It's gonna feel 10 times more horrible.
And I'm so angry too. Maya's like, mom, and I'm like, I don't want to play right now.
Oh,
sorry, let me just get myself around.
Why don't you just sleep on the couch with me, Scott?
Because of that sentence right there.
Yeah.
What? Holly and I used to do it. We would take naps on the couch in the living room.
Yeah, but now it's weird.
Man. Why is it weird? It's not like our feet are touching or anything.
What if I accidentally do? I just can't.
Would Would you be awkward if my feet just like touched your head while you were trying to sleep?
Oh. Ew. Oh, you and your talons?
Hey, I actually cut mine down. I cut the talons down.
When? I could not do that.
I've been declawed.
When?
I did it last week, actually.
Oh, okay.
It was like, last week.
Since quarantine began?
Yes. What's actually funny is I feel like one of my new routines that have popped up is I used to get my hair cut every week. And so now what I found is since I don't get my hair cut, I'll do like a once a week manscape session where I'll get home early before Abe gets home, because last time, or the couple times ago when I tried to do this, he was just on the bed like with his hand in his hands. It's just like, hey, I'm like, don't watch me do this. So I take my razor and I do like my beard and my mustache. And then I'm like, well, I'm already here. So then I just shave everything else. And so it's become like my once a week ritual where I'm like, all right, take all your clothes off, disrobe, and shave it off.
Wow.
Wow.
We're all doing stuff.
So, Scott, I feel like you can just join me for a little nap on the couch.
Take a little naparoo.
No, absolutely not. No, no.
But then what if Scott falls asleep and is like down for the count?
That's
and then,
it.
Miguel, you wake up and you're like, hey, I feel like Scott will knock you out.
Kill you. No, back in the day when
save that. Save that, Holly. He's going to kill me, and I want today, Thursday, no. April 23rd, 2020. Scott said,
no,
I would kill you.
Because I do have moments where I just get, I could get mean. And like when I used to live at home with my parents, and if I was back from like school and I would like, all right, I got like a little bit of time, I'd lay on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
And like if my mom came home and just started like going in the kitchen, maybe even making dinner for me, because I'm just so privileged like that. Thanks, Mom. I would wake up furious that somebody slammed a pot, did something. I would throw a fit because I'm a child. And so if anybody, even like, actually, yeah, like Mary would try, like she's known now, like there's no easy way to wake me up in those moments. Like maybe poke me once, give me a little warning, but do not go past that, because I will just be pissed if you try waking me up in those moments. Uh-uh. I will make the decision when I get up. Nobody else will make that decision for me.
Whoa, listen to that.
Yeah.
He's going to kill you.
I want to see this.
No, you don't.
No,
I want to see. I want to see Scott mad.
As someone who feels the rage after naps, like I get it. Like I don't even feel that good. I'm angry.
Yeah.
Like every little thing bothers me. I don't even like being in that mood.
No,
I don't like
living
there. I don't like it. And eventually, it sort of dissipates.
Yes.
But if someone tries to.
Oh, God, no. Nobody can make that decision for me today.
And then Maya's always like, why are you mad? I'm like, I'm not mad. I'm just, can you just give me a minute? I'm not mad. Oh, God.
I want to see it. I'm
you
sorry.
Know.
I've seen Scott
seen
be down.
Moods.
I've seen you, like, hyperactive, like you were about to be mad. And this was back in the fall when there was some drama happening in your personal life. And it was like when you had just found out about it.
Oh.
And you came bounding up the stairs. And I was like, hey. And I just thought you were in like one of your like, hey, it's Scott. And you were like, no, I need to tell you. Like literally, I had a piece of food in my mouth. And I was like, oh. Okay, let me put my sandwich down. I like reached over and slowly pushed pause on the Apple TV, and what? I was like,
can we pause and give a shout out to any time anyone has ever had to slowly and like discreetly push the pause button for someone who barreled into a room and just needs your attention and they didn't even pause to tell you to pause, and you're just like, go ahead, you got my full attention.
That's what it was like. And then you were like mad, but you were just, it was more like you were just, you had lots of emotions going, and you were like, and then this happened, and then this happened, but you weren't like, the emotion you were giving wasn't anger. It was more so just like, here's a situation.
Frustration?
I don't know. Frustration. That's what it is. I don't know how to feel about it. And so I just want to see you be like, Miguel, fuck you.
No, I don't think that it would ever come to that unless you did me wrong. Like if you do me wrong, then I'm just going to let it all out. But, like, very rare, like, people see that. Probably, like, my parents, my girlfriend, and, like, my best friend Logan.
Mm-hmm.
They've definitely seen those moments. But, like, I do not want other people to see that because I just feel bad after. Like, it just makes me feel crappy and
yeah,
that feeling. I don't
like
want
you
to think
control.
Of me like that. Yeah. And I, gosh, I try so hard to keep control of it. Every now and then I feel bad for, like, obviously my girlfriend because she probably gets it the most where it's just great and then pop off.
Do you yell?
Yeah, sometimes, yeah. Yeah. And I'm not, again, like, even talking about it, like, I'm uncomfortable. But,
really?
Like, I'm not proud of that. Like, I used to be a lot worse, too. I used to, like, punch stuff and, like, hit stuff. because I didn't know how
Scott,
to, like...
Scott, hit stuff?
Yeah, I punched a hole in my wall in my room.
What?
Wait, yeah. So you were, like, the quintessential angry white boy who
yes.
listened to Fred Durst?
No, no, I didn't listen to that.
No,
but
Eminem will get you going into a wall punch.
I wasn't, like... I probably wasn't as extreme as a lot of other, like, young males, but I definitely had my moments where I was just so upset where I just didn't know what else to do.
Hmm.
And, like, the only thought in my mind was, like, I'm going to punch something.
And I'm just going to say that is very common to men. I feel like it's a testosterone thing. I don't know. It's, like, extra testosterone in that moment. Like, it just courses through your veins or something. Because I think every guy that I've ever been with has had an incident of, like, punching something. Not, like, a person or nothing that would be, like... But, like, sometimes, like, in a moment of explosion, there's, like, a wall or a pillow or whatever. And I just feel like a lot of times, especially when they're younger, when guys are younger, it's almost like you cannot contain it.
I've
seen it happen a lot.
I think, thinking about it now, because I know how to communicate my emotion a lot more than I did back then. And I'd like thinking back, like I remember being in those conversations and not knowing like
that's it.
How to say it or how to get like it to be resolved. And
that's
so
what
like,
it is.
Ah.
Because our young men are not taught how to communicate and emote.
That's exactly what I was about to say. Because I was trying to go back through my childhood and think about those moments where I felt out of control and angry, but I never resorted to punching or throwing or kicking. That's because I always used my words. When I was younger, when I would get angry, which is why I started journaling in middle school, because I would feel, I remember, and I should go back through my journal and try to find the time when I was starting to process my feelings and like how to pinpoint what exactly do they mean. Because I remember, and especially my seventh grade year when we moved from Denver to Atlanta, and there was, like, no notice. We just literally went to visit my grandma, and then 2 days later, they were like, so you're not going back to Denver. You're going to be staying here. And I was very angry because, I mean, literally, your life just is, the rug is pulled out from underneath you, and all these plans I had made for seventh grade, and I was going to try to climb my way to be yearbook editor and on the newspaper and all my friends. And there was a guy that I liked, but I didn't really understand what it meant that I liked him. So like all those things. And remember, when you are 11, 12, that is your end all be all.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You don't know. And so I remember just feeling so much anger at my grandma and my mom. But then at the same time, I love them, and my grandma had just had a stroke, and so I felt bad for her, but I was angry. But I went and wrote it down.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, and I don't know, this is not coming from a place of anything other than curiosity. As a gay man, is it a little different? I mean, obviously, and we've talked about this before, because you're still a man regardless. This is this is why gay men look at other men unabashedly, because they still men.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think it's possible that obviously we don't know what makes someone gay, but do you think it's possible that, you know, maybe you have a little more or less, or however the hormones flow on one way or the other, if it was how you, the fact taking out being gay, if it was the fact that you were raised by two women who maybe taught you to use words more than fists or whatever. I don't know. I'm wondering if there's something there that I can't put my finger on.
I think that it's a combination of things. And I think that for me, because I spent a lot of time alone growing up, I learned I had a very active imagination.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would create worlds. And to create worlds in your mind and characters, you have to have an imagination. You have
yes.
to know how to emote.
You're very creative.
Exactly. And so I think that is what lended itself to me. I think also having growing up between my mom and my grandmother. But my grandma is not really expressive. She doesn't talk about emotions. Like, there is no sad or happy with her. It's just sort of like
right.
one tone.
So then that may be more of a nature versus nurture.
Right. And I think for me, what was the turning point was when because I didn't learn to read until later on in life. And so I think that when I did discover to read, it opened up, You know what? That's what it was. To me, it was books.
Yep.
Because in books, they describe emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, and I remember, or a lot of times when I use phrasing for how I'm feeling, it probably comes from a book I read growing mm-hmm. up. So I say that to say that when I look at my boyfriend, Abe, who he has a traditional nuclear family of a mom and a dad,
yeah.
and he has three siblings, and they was a very like traditional family. He doesn't do well with expressing his emotions. Like he was like, if I got him on the phone now, like he often tells me, you would not like me in high school or college. He was like, I was a fucking terror because he had that anger that he didn't know what to do with. And so it would just come out in all these different destructive ways. And it wasn't until after he had some situations go down in his 20s where he was like, all right, I got to like learn how to deal with whatever is inside of me right now. And even now it still wells up in him. And I'll be like, all right, let's talk through it.
Right.
Walk me through what happened in your day and let's try to find out where it went off course. And so then from there, we can go back and say, well, why did that bother you so much? And why couldn't you just let it roll off your shoulders like all the other little mini things that popped up in your day that could have frustrated you?
And this is called emotional maturity.
Do-do-do!
Seriously, though. I mean, I think that's how a lot of gay or straight men handle stuff. And maybe it does come down to, were you a big reader when you were a kid, Scott?
No.
Okay. So you didn't have that example of, you know, emotion through words and expression.
It's so weird though, because it's like, I don't know what even to this day, like I catch myself and I'm better at like, okay, like just, I know it's going to feel dumb in your head to push the anger aside and talk it through. Cause I think that's the thing that tells me, it's like, I don't know what it is, but it feels like I'm just giving in or like I'm giving up on the fight. So let me just try to resolve it.
Maybe that's just like a natural male thing.
I don't know. But like, because I always knew, like, even, like, my mom or my dad, like, they would be down to have conversations. And I did have plenty of moments where I brought things up with them. But I do remember there's specific times where it's, like, either in a relationship or I'd be having a conversation. And I know there was, like, it was just to a point where I was just so angry that it's, like, I don't know what to do. And I remember, like, I would either, like, punch my steering wheel or just something to, like, I don't know. I didn't know what else to do, or it just felt good to just do that.
Well, there's a whole thing about nonviolent communication? And they don't say violent because it means like punching versus talking. Or maybe it's like non-combat, whatever it is. I don't remember. I got it from my therapist. But it's like when your brain switches to that mode, it's like you can't have a conversation. Because think of it as like train tracks. And you know, in the old movies where they like switch from one direction to the next and like you're going to go this way instead.
Mm.
So if your brain hits that switch and now you're like feeling the anger.
Oh, yeah.
It's not an easy thing to reel it back in and go, let's have a conversation, because you're already on a different track.
Oh, yeah. And it feels very, very good in those moments to just do that.
Yeah.
Because live in that anger.
Your body is going, the different hormones and endorphins and stuff are happening. The adrenaline is already coursing. Literally, your body can't pull itself back in, and it takes a lot to do it. But then this worksheet she gave me, and I think it is nonviolent communication, NVC. But then it's like, this is how couples can diffuse fights. Because if you go onto that train track of anger and like yelling or whatever, then they say, okay, you know what? We can't communicate right now, so we both need a time out.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to like go and calm down and then come back and say, without, you know, if you feel yourself start to build up to that, you have to keep it on that other track in order to keep the communication working. I don't know. It's fascinating. I have it because she sent it to me because I was having some issues with my partner. And she was like, this worksheet explains in detail how to break it down and make any fight a positive thing. So there's actually a whole thing behind this, but it makes sense to me that men would feel that more often because, I mean, that's like how you're born.
Are you able to, Scott, with your girlfriend, if you are feeling upset, to dig through like exactly what's bothering you to say, hey, this is why I'm upset? Or does it take you a while to sort of process that like spike of anger or frustration or whatever the feeling is?
I would say over the past year, I've gotten a lot better at being able to just sit down and talk about it Actually, yeah, definitely this past year has been an eye-opener because, well, one, in my relationship, like, my girlfriend Mary, like, she doesn't yell. Like, that's not her, like, way of going about it.
Mm-hmm.
And if we are going to talk about it, she's down to talk about it. But for me, I had to learn, especially this year because now we went long distance, that I needed to start bringing up things just in that moment, and I couldn't get angry because if you're angry over the phone and my automatic response is like, I just want to hang up and be angry. I just want to live in that anger and be mad and find reasons to be mad. And I had to learn real quick that that was like the quickest way to like end the relationship if I was going to keep going down that road.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now I'm better at talking it through. Now I'm better at taking myself down from that high level and bringing it back to reality. And I did it. I know this because I did it the other night when I was getting myself all worked up and I was like, okay, I know it feels good to live in this anger and I want to fight, but like, I have to understand that it's only going to make it worse. And I had to like keep reminding myself through those moments of like, all right, this is only getting worse. This is only getting worse. Let's bring it down to a level of actually like resolving it. Let's not just fight to fight. Let's resolve.
Right.
And that's like what I've really come to at a much better angle this year. I'm not perfect, not even close to like being able to manage that. But now I'm able to talk it through in the moment. But there are definitely moments where I'm like,
but the fact that you're aware of it is everything.
Right.
Awareness is key because without awareness, you're just bumbling through life,
mm-hmm.
being like, well, why is this going shitty for me?
I'm so curious when you say that you when you get angry and you want to live in it.
Yeah.
Can you help me understand? Because to me, that feels foreign.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm trying to think about a moment when I'm angry. I'm trying to think of what's a moment I've been angry recently.
What about that thing that happened with Dylan? Didn't something happen with Dylan that you were mad about him?
Yes. We had some roommate stuff going on. And, yes, this is like when everything first started, and I got very angry. But, like, as soon as that sort of anger emotion flares up, I then think to myself, I'll be like, oh, I'm so fucking mad. All right, how do we solve this problem? Because I don't want to be angry. Like, what are the options? Do you, one, need to, like, go take a shower or touch yourself to, like, get your mind off of it, to, like, sort of clear your brain and then come back to it with different emotions?
Is that a thing? I have never, ever wanted to touch myself when I'm angry. Ever.
I'm trying. I don't know. That just came to my mind. I think about what I do when I'm bored. I'm like,
oh, okay.
Have I done that when I'm angry? No. Maybe. Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. I mean, probably. Let's be honest.
Nice.
And so I clear my brain. I want to clear my brain, come back to it with a level head and say, okay, how much of the wrong are you in? How much of the wrong are they? Where's the middle ground? How can we resolve this? And let's go from there. So that's usually how my brain, and usually that's all in a, like, you know, 10 seconds that happens. So when you get angry and you feel that first spike of anger, what then happens in your mind?
It kind of just feels like I'm just stuck in that moment. Like, it feels, I think I caught myself the other night, and this might be a little bit of a tangent, but it's like when I'm angry like that, I want the other person to feel what I'm feeling. I want the other person to, like, I don't know. It's almost like I want the other person to, like, realize how upset I am and then help me. Like, I don't want to help myself. I want you to help me get out of this if it's in a two, you know, way street. And I was thinking about this the other day when I was – my girlfriend and I were, like, we're going – not really in a fight. I got worked up. She was kind of just calm and collected, but I started getting to the point where I was, like, starting to yell and starting to get upset. And we got off the phone because she realized that we weren't going to solve it in that moment. I was, like, automatically, like, you know what? Fine. F it. And I hung up. But then that was, like, that's my easy escape. Like, if I do that, oh, I'm fine with that. I'll go to bed angry all day long. But I realized that the reason I was doing that is because I wanted her or whoever the person is to feel the emotion I'm feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted her to be upset. I was, like, getting ready to text something, and I was, like, a paragraph in, and I'm like, wait a second. Like, this isn't – I'm not doing it. This isn't helping me. I'm trying to bring you to the level that I am so I don't feel either alone in this emotion or whatever it was. And so I think that's what it is when I feel angry. Like, I want that person to be on the same level. I don't want to feel like the crazy one in the situation. I want to almost, like, make you hurt like I'm hurting right now.
Mm.
I don't know why. I just discovered this, like, two nights ago.
This is a good discovery. I feel like this is – it's a big revelation that I need to process.
Yeah.
I like that. I think
well,
that's
it was
really
weird
good.
Because I was, like, I was a paragraph deep, and I was like, ooh, here we go. And I knew that if I was to send it – and I'm so happy I realized that, like, all it would do is just hurt her. Like, all it would do, as much as in my head I was like, she probably doesn't give an F. It's not going to affect her at all. I had to bring myself back to earth and be like, wait, no, we've had these conversations. It does bother her. She does stay up at night and think about this stuff. She is hurting because of this. You're not alone. So I erased all of it, went to bed, woke up the next day, we got on the phone, talked it through, and it was much better than me saying some more BS through a text because I was angry and I wanted somebody else to feel the same way.
Now, in that angry text that you had written, was it more accusatory or was it more explaining your feelings?
I wish I had a draft. I think it was both. It was, I was trying to explain things in a way. That's what it was. I was trying to make her feel guilty
for
why I was upset. And I was like, that's not the way to go about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so happy I did, because even looking back now, I'm like, oh, I could see both angles way more clear. Like, I see why I was upset, but I also see exactly where I went wrong and things I said that, like, that's where you effed up. Everything was fine until you said that.
Right.
And so, like, in those moments, and I'm so happy I did, because I needed that reassurance that it's like, I am getting better at controlling my emotions.
Mm.
So I think that's what it was. I was writing things to... I was about to go to bed and I wanted you to think about this and be upset and sad that you did this to me. And I was like, wait, that's wrong.
Yeah.
But it's, you know what? I think that's healthy though. The fact that you wrote it, but you didn't need to send it. You don't need to send it. Because a lot of times you have to get it out. Like, it's not like you can just keep it inside and then be like, well, I'm just going to keep this in and stew on it.
Right.
So the fact that you even wrote it, thought about it, and then erased it, I think that was like the most emotionally mature thing that you could do, because sometimes you just have to get it out.
Yeah.
Write a letter and throw it out
or
whatever, so that at least you're processing your own feelings. And like you did, you're coming to a different conclusion.
Yeah. Well, one thing that we've really taken on now, it's like we're much better at talking to each other about these problems, especially like either a day after a little bit of time, and just like being able to, this is something I've really had to learn, is like, not talking about them, like talking about the way I feel, talking about the way I'm processing.
I statements.
And like that's been a game changer, because again, like we're pretty damn good relationship, you know, and then long distance happened and that threw a whole curveball where it was like a whole new set of challenges, and even to this day there's challenges, and we had to switch up how we went about everything. And so if we weren't using this certain communication style, now we are. And if we're not doing it in like exactly the right way, well, we're going to have to start fixing it, because it's just, I feel like if you don't, now it's just an automatic exit ramp to, you're going to end your relationship soon, because there's too many problems to fix in the short amount of time when you don't get to talk. And so now we are having this conversation where it's like, okay, I felt this way because of this. You felt this way because of this. And even on the hardest conversations, we've been able to actually at least talk about it, not suppress it.
Right.
That's a win.
You, when I say you, I mean, this is the collective you, everyone. When you start to approach hurt and pain and frustration in relationships without being accusatory, I feel like it opens up the communication and the dialogue and the empathy so much more in a relationship. Because I remember that was the turning point for my relationship with Abe, where, you know, everything was fine, you know, because like most relationships, when you first start, it's like hot and heavy because of the passion and everything
it's
is
lusty.
New. Absolutely. And then when you start getting down into the nitty gritty of things, and the first year of our relationship, Abe traveled for work. And so he would be gone every week. And there were some weekends where he would be gone. And at that time, when we were still getting to know each other and I was still dealing with my insecurities and jealousy issues, I think it's so funny that I was so like, well, are you sleeping with one of those other men on the job? Now, Abe used to work for a commercial air conditioning place, and the guys that he would work with, he ain't touching nobody.
Yikes.
He ain't doing nothing.
But see, you were in your crazy brain.
I was. And at first, I was like, well, Miguel, hold it in. Don't say anything.
Yeah.
And then there was one night where I mentioned something, and then he made a joke, but it really cut me the wrong way because I was already feeling insecure. And I remember like getting off the phone, and I was like, well, I'm not going to respond to his text tomorrow. whatever.
Yeah, I love how we tell ourselves mm-hmm. these things like, ooh.
Like, watch this, bitch. I'm not responding to a text.
That is I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you're in middle school.
Right, exactly. And so then 10 minutes later, I thought to myself, okay, I really like him. We really have great communication. Literally, what is it going to solve by me not responding to a text? Mm-hmm. What is that? How is that going to make me feel better? How is that going to make him feel better? How are we going to walk away from this moment learning anything about each other?
That, while you wanted to not send the text, that was you living in the anger like Scott was talking about.
I can do that all the time.
That's what that means. That is what that is. When you are not sending a text, even though you have like five paragraphs to say that starts with, I just think it's funny that, because a lot of my texts, that I used to do that too with like really long texts. I just think it's funny. And by the way, that's not funny.
What's funny about that?
If you start a text that's, I just think it's funny that is not funny.
Nope.
So when you wanted to not send a text and you lived in that moment, that was living in the anger.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so then I stopped myself and said, okay, I'm gonna, because it was very hard to type that out, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
It is hard to say, you hurt my feelings. Mm-hmm. Because when you say that, you're being vulnerable and you're opening yourself up.
Yep.
And especially in a new situation when they were just joking,
mm-hmm.
to say you hurt my feelings. And I wrote it out and then I read it and I was like, this is what I think. This is not me being accusatory. This is not making me feel bad. And I even ended it with, I hope this doesn't make you feel bad, but this is how I feel.
Right.
He read it and he was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
He didn't know.
He had no clue, but that was like, to me, that was when we started to become a real couple, as opposed to it's two people who are having fun, doing some like sexual things and like chatting.
And like going out to clubs together.
Absolutely. But when we started to get to know each other, because that was a vulnerable moment for me to be like, hey, if you make fun of these insecurities, that's triggering for me and it doesn't make me feel great.
Yeah.
And he was like, I got it. And so I think that that is another sign of a maturing relationship. And to me, I felt like that was a moment where I took another layer of child Miguel of just wanting to like stomp my feet and be like, this is how you deal with stuff as an adult.
What I think you did, too, is you probably looked at that piece of the child. And this is like a very Angela thing that I'm about to say, like our life coach, Angela,
mm-hmm.
where you saw that hurt child and you said, I see you now.
Mm.
I see it.
Right.
Let Big Miguel handle it.
Mm.
This is a job for the adult Miguel.
I got you.
Mm. And that sort of heals that wound.
I love this. This is great.
This is good. Look at all of our relationships doing good because we're all emotionally mature and shit. I mean, not to say that it works all the time.
Oh, no.
It doesn't.
It's not like everybody's doing a great job.
Let me be clear.
Day by day.
Because there are some days where literally he'll come home and he'll just, I can see the frustration on his face and I'm just like, well, what the fuck? And I'm like, wait a minute, Miguel, that's not being very nice.
Yeah, no, I'll get that way. And I know it now because I have a period tracker. When I'm in my PMS days, anything will set me off.
Oh.
And so you're able to share the tracker. So now not only am I on the lookout for it. So is he. So like when I get like, and a lot of it is about when we're talking about Maya and I'm like, and she did this and she did this.
Mm.
And he's like, well, you know, you should probably, you know, you got to stand firm. And I'm like, excuse me.
What?
I don't need you to attack me right now. And he's like, oh, wait a minute. I just looked at the period tracker.
Let me take a look at this tracker.
And then I get even more pissed and I'm like, I don't even care about the period tracker. 2 days later, I'm like, yeah, sorry about that. The period. That's a bitch.
Holly, can you share that period tracker with me? I want to be on notice for your cycles.
I feel like we all should be. Fucks everybody up.
So the phone call that we were expecting.
I was like, what happened to this bitch?
Yeah.
I know.
I have had it in the back of my damn mind this entire time.
So have I. That's why like some of the times I was distracted looking. So this person, so I'll say this now. And then hopefully maybe we can get him on the show tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah.
So apparently back in early April, we're in April now still. Sometimes I don't know what time of the month it is.
Sometimes I don't know what time of the year it is.
Like it's crazy. Like I know the day because of the show.
Right.
But they're like, because We have nothing on the calendar. There's nothing to look forward to
one
now.
One time I was legit for about a minute. I thought it was fall.
I was Merry Christmas.
I was like, wait. I thought
it was May for a second already.
Okay.
So early this month, I think this was either right before or after Tom Brady signed his contract to be on the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Yes.
He was going to meet, and I haven't read through the story yet because, oh, wait.
What's going on?
And he's not sure. I'm not sure if he's still working or what.
Oh,
how
Jesus.
Long is podcast? Okay, that's fine. We'll get him on tomorrow. Tom Brady accidentally walked into this person's house in Tampa thinking that it was another football player. And, like, he walked into the house, put his duffel bag down, thinking it was another football friend. But it was this guy's house.
What?
And so
shut up.
TMZ just picked up the story today. And one of our coworkers knows the guy and was going to get him to call into the podcast to tell us a story.
Lord, we need to have this person on the phone tomorrow morning.
Yeah, so apparently he's doing something with work and he's not answering his phone. So we'll try to get him on tomorrow.
Wow.
On the on-air show or at least on the podcast.
P.S., that must be a rich-ass friend.
Yeah.
Because you know damn well Tom Brady would not walk into any one of our houses.
Bro, he is not walking into Chateau Oprah. He'd walk in and be like, ooh, this smells poor. Let me turn around.
He'd walk in and be like, somebody cook Brussels sprouts? Get out of here. What? No.
So we'll hopefully have this guy on tomorrow or
wow.
on the show tomorrow.
Wow,
so, yeah,
that's crazy.
I'm really excited to hear a story. Holly, what's all your social media?
Radio Holly on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and Holly on Hot 101.5 on Facebook.
At Scott Tavlin, ScottTavlin on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram.
Miguel Fuller, MigelFuller. You can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Snapchat, and on Facebook. It's Radio Miguel. Make sure on iTunes, please, please, please help us out and give us a rating. Give us a review. It only helps grow the podcast. Thanks to Corona Beer for making this possible. And if you ever want to hear or you want to ask us a question or anything, you can always download the free Hot 101.5 app. And leave an open mic on there until tomorrow.
Catch up on previous episodes of Miguel and Holly Uncensored now on the Hot 101.5 app or on iTunes on your smartphone.
It's Miguel and Holly Uncensored, Quarantine Edition from Hot 101.5, made hot by Corona Beer.